Our next case for argument is 21-1434, Canadian Solar versus the United States. How do I pronounce your last name, counsel?
Your Honor,
Wiss. Ms. Wiss, please proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court, Sarah Wiss on behalf of Plaintiff Appellants, Canadian Solar et al. Your Honors, the issue before the Court today is simple. By statute, the Commerce Department may only countervail subsidies that are specific. But here, Commerce determined that the Chinese government subsidized electricity in all regions of China. Under the plain meaning of the statute, that is an illegal subsidy determination that must be overturned. This case involves the interplay between two sections of the Tariff Act of 1930. The first is the CBD statute, which mandates generally that commerce may only assess countervailing duties.
Just so I understand your view, is it your view that they can only, that the way to understand the statute is that it covers a situation only where one province out of, say, 20 provinces is getting a subsidy from the central government?
Thank you, Your Honor. Province is not laid out in the statute. The requirement of the CBD statute is that commerce must designate a geographical region. It doesn't have to be province, but it does have to be a single designated region, and that's under 19 U.S.C. 1677 5A.
Would a province count as a geographic region?
Yes, province would count.
Okay.
A single province
so
would count.
So then, is it your view that this statute applies only when, say, one province out of 20 provinces in a country is getting a subsidy from the central government?
No, Your Honor, that is not our view. Commerce was not strictly required to only designate one province. It does have some discretion in designating or defining what is a region, but it does need to designate a region. And Commerce did not designate a single province or a group of provinces or any region whatsoever. And that is required even when using AFA or adverse facts available.
What if Commerce concludes that the central government has granted a subsidy of some sort, a varying subsidy province by province, to most or maybe even all of the provinces? Province 1 is getting a subsidy of $1 per unit, and then Province 2 is getting a subsidy of $2 per unit, and so on. Would that make the statute inapplicable under that circumstance?
I believe, yes, Your Honor, that it would, because the specificity test in the statute is required to be a limit. And what it's enacted to avoid is that the designation of the region is necessary to ensure that subsidies that are distributed very widely throughout an economy are not countervailed. And that's enshrined in Commerce's regulations and the Statement of Administrative Action. So under Your Honor's example, where the central government was perhaps providing subsidies to all the provinces, that would not be countervailable. That would be a broad-based subsidy that cannot be countervailed under the statute.
But my hypothetical is there is a variance in the subsidy, in the degree of the subsidy, so that each province is getting a different amount of the subsidy.
I have to come back to what Commerce actually determined here, because Commerce did not determine that certain provinces were getting a subsidy and certain provinces weren't, or any particular province was getting some form of a benefit.
They picked a benchmark, right? And then they looked at the schedule and saw, wow, we see a lot of different electricity prices province to province going on here, yeah. Right? And then they ended up, comparing the benchmark to the relevant electricity price for the relevant province here to calculate the countervailing duty, right?
Well, importantly, Your Honor,
am I understanding the facts correctly?
If I could point you to a page in the joint appendix, it might help illustrate this benchmark choice. It's pages APPX 1567 and 1568. And as a preliminary matter, while you're turning, you'll notice that there are brackets and confidential treatment on this page, but these two pages are not confidential. They've been made public by order of the Court of International Trade. So it's small. There's a lot of data here, but we do not need to read the numbers here. All you need to know by looking at this chart is that the provinces are listed down the left-hand column. And, Your Honor, you said that Commerce designated which province was the benchmark. Here, the benchmarks are actually highlighted in yellow. Commerce did not designate a province that was the benchmark. It did not designate a unsubsidized region. It broke down a respondent's electricity bill into the various categories. So type of user, such as large industry, time of use categories, peak, normal, valley, and so on. And then it picked a benchmark from a different province for every single one of those categories. Commerce used an ever-changing mix of benchmarks from all over China to determine the subsidy rate for a single province. So you can see Commerce does not designate a single benchmark province. If it did, you would expect to see a solid yellow line.
So there's a benchmark per category.
There is a benchmark per category, but this is a single program. It was alleged as a single program. Commerce considered it as a single program, but they did not designate a single region that was subsidized or a single region that was the benchmark that was unsubsidized. They're literally all over the map.
So just getting back to your opening brief, what is your position on what's the right construction?
The right construction. So turning back quickly to the relevant portion of the CVD statute, Commerce, in order to countervail a regional subsidy program, which is alleged here, Commerce must make a finding that it is limited to an enterprise or industry within a designated geographical region. Commerce is permitted to use adverse facts available, and that comes under a separate section of Title 19, 19 U.S.C. 1677E. But that also has limits. Commerce is allowed to use AFA if there's a gap in the record and a party is uncooperative, but only, and I'm quoting here, in reaching the applicable determination under this title. The applicable determination under Title 19 is in the CVD statute, and that's the designated geographical region. Commerce ignored this statutory requirement. Their determination was vague. Commerce determined, and I quote, that the government of China has subsidized electricity consumers in certain regions, and that the prices in the provinces in which the respondents are located are preferential. You'll notice that Commerce does not name a specific geographic location that they can point to on a map.
But that isn't that exactly because of the Chinese government's noncompliance? I mean, they wouldn't give Commerce the information to verify which regions receive subsidies. Your argument's very circular. The government wouldn't provide the information that was necessary to determine which regions receive subsidies, and now you're criticizing Commerce for not determining which regions got subsidies. Seems awfully circular.
With respect, Your Honor, the gap in the record, this problem that you're describing.
The gap in the record, which is a direct result of the Chinese government's refusal to provide the verification information Commerce sought.
That is correct. The gap in the record that Commerce found was a result of the government of China's non-cooperation is the exact problem that the AFA statute was designed to solve. Commerce, if there is a gap, Commerce may use inferences. They may substitute missing facts with inferences, and those inferences may be adverse, but they still need to make the determination required in the CVD statute. They can't skip the step. They need to connect the missing facts, insert the inferences, but still designate the geographical region.
Yes,
that is
but
subsidized.
If they're incapable of figuring out which regions got subsidies, then how do they do that? Are you saying they can't use adverse facts under those circumstances because they can't designate which regions?
Even if there's a gap in the record and they are correctly applying AFA, Commerce's hands were not tied. They still had options here. And we laid out some examples in our brief not to ask the court to substitute our judgment for Commerce's judgment, but to illustrate that they did have options. For example, if you look at, Commerce could have determined that the Chinese province of Qinghai was the designated geographical region receiving the subsidy that had the lowest rates for normal use in the large industrial user category, which accounts for the majority of use by the respondents. This is a clear path to use AFA, which is still within the CVD statute. And a finding such as Qinghai being the designated region accomplishes the goals of the AFA statute. It fills the gap identified in the record that resulted from the alleged failure of the government of China to cooperate by inferring that the province with the lowest rates is the subsidized province. And second, it's still adverse to the non-cooperating party because the government of China actually reported...
That example sounds like you want Commerce to use adverse light instead of adverse facts available by just selecting the one province with the very lowest prices and drawing a conclusion there that there must have been a subsidy there, but not for any of the other provinces that also had lower prices, just not as low as that one province.
Commerce has flexibility here. There are other examples, and we give some in our brief, but they do have to make a determination as to the subsidized region, and we submit that low prices are a very rational indication of where the subsidy would be. And if Commerce could not reasonably infer that the low prices reflect the subsidized region, then why was it reasonable for Commerce to infer that the high prices were the benchmarks? It's inconsistent.
Well, I guess is your point that maybe everybody was getting a subsidy, every province, and so even the province with the highest electricity price, maybe that's not a benchmark?
Yes, Your Honor.
But what I don't understand what Commerce would do in that circumstance. They can only work with the information that they have. You know, they have imperfect information here, and they have to make a choice. If anything, all of these companies are getting a benefit in that circumstance by Commerce choosing and deeming the highest price as being the one without getting a subsidy when very well it too could be getting a subsidy.
I do see I've come to the end of my affirmative time. I would like to answer Your Honor's question and leave a couple minutes for rebuttal. But you hit an important point that Commerce is here finding that all regions are subsidized, and that is contrary to the specificity test. They're not permitted to countervail duties when against a widely available subsidy. And even though Commerce says that they are not applying this to all regions of China, in fact they are when you look at their calculation. You see, first Canadian Solar and the other mandatory respondent with affiliates all over China are found to be using the same regional program. Not only that, but based on our research, no Chinese respondent has ever escaped a finding under this program because of their geographic location. This has become an automatic CVD rate whenever a case is filed, no matter where in China the subject merchandise is being produced. With that, I would ask the court to simply find that Commerce's power to use AFA is limited. It cannot read the phrase designated geographical region out of the CVD statute, which is exactly what it did here. I would reserve my time for rebuttal.
Mr. Miller? Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court.
Mr. Miller, can I ask you a factual question to begin with? Opposing counsel suggested that Commerce actually found that every region was subsidized. I don't remember that finding. I agree Commerce used a higher rate than any region or benchmark, but that's not the same thing as finding that every region is subsidized, is it?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So I think that isn't that just a factually incorrect statement about what Commerce found?
Yes, Your Honor, in that Commerce did not have the requisite information from the government of China to fully understand the data of the record. The main grievance between Canadian Solar and the government is how to interpret the price schedules. Well, the Department of Commerce asked the government of China about those price schedules, and that is exactly the gap in the record that was created by the government of China's lack of cooperation. Specifically, I'd point the court to the remand determination at pages 15 and 16, which is APPX 1909 to 1910. Commerce asked for the provincial price proposals. They asked for a description of the cost elements and the price adjustments, and an explanation linking the particular costs to retail prices. This is the information that the government of China thwarted the Department of Commerce in investigating to fully understand the data of the record. Because they could not fully understand the data of the record, they lawfully applied an adverse inference when selecting from among the facts of the record and rendering its regional specificity determination. Specifically, the facts of the record that Commerce relied upon in making its determination was one, that the record shows that the central government still exerts oversight over prices. This is reflected in Notice 2909 as well as Notice 748. The other fact that they relied upon was this varying in prices amongst provinces. Those two facts, the fact that the prices vary amongst provinces and that the record shows that the central government still exerts some oversight over the prices, Commerce applied an adverse inference from those facts in making its determination.
And isn't Judge Chen's earlier question to opposing counsel sort of correct, which is that even though Commerce chose to look at the province with the highest rate and treat it as unsubsidized, we're not even sure that it is in fact unsubsidized, so it may well be that the adverse inference that Commerce drew isn't as adverse as reality really is.
That's correct, Your Honor. Commerce drew no conclusions regarding
high
rates.
And all the reasons for that is a direct result of the non-compliance by the Chinese government, its refusal to provide the information necessary to make the assessment.
Yes, Your Honor. And importantly, the benchmark rate was drawn from facts of the record. Commerce didn't substitute some sort of data from the record through its application of AFA. They used actual rates reported by the respondents. And it's important to note here that the rate is 0.54%. This court has warned previously that rates shouldn't be aberrational, they shouldn't be punitive, they shouldn't be non-cooperative. This rate certainly doesn't reflect that type of circumstance here. This rate was drawn from facts of the record. And in fact, Commerce did select the highest rate from the varying categories amongst the regions.
What about that part, the varying categories? I mean, that seems to be the only... That was the only part that sort of caused me some concern, is why not the same one across the board? Why the highest one from each category?
It goes to the purpose of applying adverse facts available, and this is reflected in this court's decision, Esser. The purpose of adverse facts available is to deter noncompliance and to incentivize cooperation, and to ensure that the responding party doesn't receive a more favorable rate than if they had cooperated. So here...
Well, when you say it's to deter noncompliance, it's starting to sound punitive, isn't it? Like which it's not supposed to be.
No, Your Honor. As you've noted, Commerce lacked the requisite background information to fully understand the data. So in looking at the rates that were reported by the respondents, Commerce selected the highest rates because, as you noted, they couldn't discern which elements were subsidized and which regions were unsubsidized because they didn't have the data to understand where the market rates actually were set at. So because of that, and to ensure that the respondents didn't receive a more favorable rate than as if the government of China had cooperated, they selected facts from the record. They selected the highest rates from the record and selecting and determining their benchmark. And that's supported by the AFA statute.
Well, what is it in the statute that permits Commerce to I hate to use the word cherry pick, but I'm going to use it. Cherry pick, looking for the highest prices for per category across all the provinces,
well,
rather than just select one province.
Certainly, Your Honor. So within the statute, there's this standard of maximum effort to provide information, this acting to the best of their ability. When it's determined that the government of China failed to act to its best of its ability, the statute allows the Department of Commerce to select data from the record and apply an adverse inference from this. And in fact, this court considered this exact circumstance in the case of fine furniture.
I understand what the goals of the AFA are, but the statute says something about located within a designated geographic region. And so I'm trying to figure out whether that means the right way to use AFA is to pick a geographic region and say this is the benchmark we should be using.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, if we take the hypothetical raised by my colleagues of the Qinghai province, let's say Commerce arbitrarily selected one province and used the electricity rate or the reported rates from that region as the benchmark rate. Well, as Commerce has explained, they lack the requisite background information to fully understand how that price was set, what nature the central government through the NDRC influenced that rate. And so if Commerce would have taken the approach that my colleagues encourage, it would have been arbitrary, and there would have been no support in the record for that type of approach because Commerce lacked the ability to fully understand how those prices were set and what way they were set. So without that understanding, Commerce looked at the various reported prices and select the highest rate through their application of adverse facts available in selecting benchmarks, which is permitted by the statute and was discussed by this court in fine furniture.
What if all the provinces had the same price except one, and that one province had a higher electricity price? So maybe you could draw a conclusion in that instance that, well, of the 20 provinces, maybe 19 of them are getting a subsidy, and they're all getting the exact same subsidy. Would that fact pattern fit this statute, which is talking about a subsidy located within a designated geographical region?
It could, Your Honor. As Commerce noted in their remand determination, the missing information that made it difficult to understand this how prices are set was they lacked the information to understand fully how these provinces set their rates and to what degree the central government...
What if the fact pattern was every province is getting the same subsidy? That's the conclusion drawn from some record evidence, that there's some inference that... Would that satisfy the statute?
Well, Your Honor, I'm uncertain of your hypothetical. I will say, though, we know from the Samsung case, from the trial court, that there's no limitation on the geographic size or administration of a program for purposes of looking at this test of regional specificity. The test really is...
Well, how would it be regionally specific in any way if the central government was giving the exact same subsidy to everybody in the country?
Well, under that hypothetical, I would agree that would be a non-regionally specific hypothetical. Looking at the Royal Thai case and the Samsung case, both of those cases were examples where Commerce differentiated between a metropolitan area versus the remaining portions of the country. And that those examples show that there's no geographic size limitation or administration to a regional specificity analysis. The test is really, is the respondent or producer receiving a benefit as a consequence of their geographic location within the country? That's the real question here. And as the record reflects, the prices across the various regions vary, and Commerce lacked the requisite background information to fully understand the import of that data. This case really boils down to what inferences do you draw from the data? And Commerce made conclusions and applied adverse inferences in a manner that was unwanted by Canadian Solar, but that doesn't show that their determination is not supported by the record. In fact, both their determinations, the regional specificity determination, as well as their selection of a benchmark, is rooted in record evidence. It's precisely the price schedules that my colleagues from Canadian Solar have been referencing that form the basis for Commerce's regional specificity determination. As we've discussed, it's because of the variances of prices and the lack of knowledge as to why those prices vary and to what degree the central government is involved in setting those prices is what led Commerce to apply their adverse inference.
I'm going to try one more time to understand your argument about why it is that it's okay for Commerce to pick the highest price component in each category, even though those price components may be coming from different geographic regions. I don't totally understand, again, why that's consistent with the statute. Can you explain it to me? It says 1677 5AD4, I think that's the part, where it says, where a subsidy is limited to an enterprise or industry located within a designated geographic region. Why doesn't that mean it has to be the same region? The Commerce can definitely use the data from that region, but it's all got to come from the same region.
It could be that it could come from the same region if Commerce had the background information to understand that that region was a region being subsidized or non-subsidized, depending upon the influences of the central government or the influences of the provinces. It's this lack of information that Commerce couldn't draw the determinations that you've identified.
The statute, one way to look at it is the subsidy determination is on a region-by-region basis, but also an enterprise-by-enterprise basis, industry-by-industry basis, or industry-within-a-region basis and enterprise-within-a-region basis. And so it is arguably a little more granular than just only looking at geographic region by geographic region basis.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, the selection of the benchmark is a different legal framework than the determination of regional specificity. As we discussed previously, the regional specificity statute, where it discusses this designated region, that portion of the statute isn't reflected in the legal framework that allows Commerce to select a benchmark. Commerce has the regulations that describe how a benchmark is selected, but if it's unable to ascertain that information, it's permitted to apply an adverse inference when selecting a rate. This was discussed by this court in Fine Furniture in terms of using AFA to select a rate. Once you're in this realm of adverse facts available, the real question is just to ensure that the rate isn't aberrational, it isn't punitive, it isn't non-corroborated by the record, and as we've discussed today, the benchmark selection is based in the record. And a rate of 0.54%, I would posit, it is not an aberrational or punitive rate. If there's no further questions, I would just ask that the court sustain Commerce's decision regarding regional specificity. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, counsel. Ms. Wiss, I'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. A few points on rebuttal. The first goes to your questions about, Chief Judge Moore question about, did Commerce determine that this program was specific to all regions? And really urge the court to look at the difference between what Commerce said and what they actually did. Commerce said vaguely, as I pointed out earlier, that the government of China has subsidized certain regions, but what they did was apply this to all regions. Again, on that chart we looked at, if there was any place in China that did not receive this subsidy under Commerce's construct, you would see a solid yellow line going across that chart. No place in China escapes this subsidy. It cannot be, it is not regionally specific under the statute. The second is there was some discussion about the categories and how Commerce's benchmark choice was reasonable. It's important to know that Commerce made no finding that there was a separate subsidy being alleged in separate categories. Any discussion of this is post hoc. Commerce claimed there was one program and there should be one single benchmark. The history of this program is also important because this is actually Commerce's third attempt to try to find that this program is somehow specific. First, it just claimed generally that it was specific. Then they claimed it was industry-specific after being overturned by the court. The court overturned industry-specific, and now they're trying to say it's regionally specific. But I would just bring the court's attention back to the regional specificity section of the CVD statute. It says Commerce, even under AFA does not read out this phrase, Commerce must designate a geographical region that is subsidized in order to be upheld. Thank you.
I thank both counsel. The case is taken under submission.